everyone. Welcome back to episode 8 of Pieces from Prison podcast. I am Ariel, and this is my sister and co-host, Adriana.
Hi.
And first, before we get started, I wanted to address something that we mentioned in one of our episodes before. It was one of our, like, very first episodes, but I mentioned us, like, making a YouTube channel. I'm not even sure if anyone has looked for it yet, but we haven't posted anything on it, and I'm not sure if we have plans to anymore yet.
But maybe catch us on TikTok, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to put together a TikTok and do a couple of videos, but I thought I should mention that because I made a YouTube channel. I just never uploaded anything on it. So yeah, sorry about that. I got too excited, but we'll keep you updated on our TikTok. And lastly, before we get into our next letter, I just want to thank everyone who listens to us. I wasn't expecting to have anyone follow or download our episodes, so the fact that people do really means a lot to us. I'm sure a lot of people can probably tell, but we're new to this. Neither of us had any clue what we were doing going into this, and we still have a long way to go, but we just want to say thank you. If you've ever listened or told anyone about our podcast, we really appreciate you.
It just keeps getting better from here.
Yes.
Going up every week.
Okay. So the crime that was committed by the person in this week's episode is first-degree robbery and possession of a firearm. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with letter 8. So he starts out saying, "I'm happy to hear you are open-minded and question the stereotype an outfit that the mainstream and most people out there conveniently dress us in. It's also refreshing to see that you want to see the other side of the coin, for there are always two sides to a story. Some people think that just because you are a prisoner or a part of a game, you're a bad person, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. Now, are there prisoners and game members that are bad people? Yes, of course, but people must understand that kids that grow up in the inner city where they are surrounded by poverty, despair, to hopelessness, the only way to belong to a cause greater than themselves is through a gang. You must also understand that all these groups are not the same. Some are very structured and have certain values that they enforce with zero tolerance. For instance, we despise and hate sex offenders and won't tolerate anyone with such offense. Also, it is wrong to take from or target those that did not sign up to be part of a criminal lifestyle. One more thing is that a lot of the laws and rules set in place are made to keep the wheels of the industry of mass incarceration in motion. I'm not trying to glorify or justify joining a gang or committing crime. I'm just trying to make a little more clear a distorted picture that's been painted. In the city I was born, my elders, my role models, my family members were all involved in some type of criminal lifestyle. And so I grew up with the mindset that this isn't evil or bad. I grew up with the understanding that cops are not to be trusted, and as I grew up, my experiences reinforced what I was told." So we kind of talked about that before in a previous episode, how kids and teenagers that are surrounded by gangs and poverty and they're living in the inner city, like he said, are kind of like thrown into that lifestyle and wanting that like acceptance. And I mean, it sounds like they didn't really have much of a choice.
And he also, I wanted to touch on the last part where he said that he was raised to not trust police. I feel like that's something that's really prevalent among, I mean, especially Black people, Hispanic people, and not for a lack of reason, I don't think. Because we do know that those populations get over-policed and don't get the same treatment that other people do.
Yeah. He says, I sold drugs my whole life and was locked up several times for it. I was never a violent person, even though I was and still am from a gang. Would I tell another kid to join a gang? No. Would I wish this life for my kids when I have kids? No. But at the same time, I have made my choice, and after 20 years of living this life, it is hard to say everything I ever believed in or stood for was wrong. Pride gets in the way. My story is a lot different from other people's. For instance, most people where I come from have never been outside of the state. I got lucky and got to live in different places. When I was 19, I moved to the Middle East to get away from the chaos that was around me. Most of my family is in some way involved in the drug trade. For my cousin, it was importing hashish from Morocco. He ended up getting busted and doing 14 years, a bit harsh to say the least, for selling weed, which is what hashish is, only compressed. That is a crazy amount of time, 14 years. So he says, I was extradited back to the United States about a year later on something that was unrelated. So I found myself back in the hood. My dad has stopped using hard drugs and saved up enough money to buy a house with many acres around it. It is located in an area where the main commodity is marijuana and where most everyone grows. So the saga continued, and we started growing weed up at the property. In my culture, in my family of three, amongst the people I grew up with, selling, growing, and consuming weed is a normal thing. Anyways, years later, my dad had a partner that was basically ripping him off. He sent me up north to collect the rest of the money, and if not, then kick the guy off the property. When I got up there, the guy started shooting at me. I was fired on several times and shot back, killing that individual. I was arrested for aggravated homicide, but then it was dropped because of the self-defense law. I did not fire first. I defended myself after being fired at several times on my dad's property. The main witness told him the same story, which was the truth. See, this guy, he was planning on telling everything that was being grown on that property and running. And when I showed up, he decided he was going to shoot me rather than let me secure what was rightfully ours. Anyways, after the shooting happened, I took one of the witnesses' IDs, and the district attorney said that constitutes a robbery one. They refiled on me and told me that if I don't take a deal for 6 years, that if I took it to court and lost, they would give me 15 to 20 years. So now I had a major conflict. Having the courage to fight the case, because it was bullshit to get 6 years over a dang ID, versus wisdom of cutting my losses and not risking spending 15 to 20 years in prison. I chose the 6 years. So the thing about the justice system in this country is that the district attorneys often bully people into taking sentences they don't want to take. They do this by simply telling them that they will receive much higher sentences if they choose to take it to trial. For people that have no faith in the justice system, it's hard to trust that system to actually be just. Also, when you are held in the county jail for a year, you get very frustrated. The county jail is horrible, and we are often confined to our cell 23 hours a day. Prosecutors and cops have no problem lying. They do things that are very shady and unethical. The people trusted to enforce the law often believe themselves to be above the law. I'm in the shoe right now over something I did not do that a CO lied about, and as a result, I've been in the shoe for a year, an isolated cell deprived of everything and anything. Being in here is a form of sensory deprivation, which is a form of cruel and unusual punishment banned by the Geneva Convention but still practiced here in the United States. I just got my phone privileges after 10 months of not being able to talk to my family since I've been incarcerated. My dad died, as well as two of my uncles. It's been hard as of late, but I refuse for the situation I'm in to make me miserable. I think that suffering only comes from refusing to accept what is. I accept that life is unfair and that the judicial system is broken. I accept that I have to be uncomfortable for a couple more years. What I refuse to accept is that I will be a statistic or become a failure in life. I refuse to accept the role that society thinks I should conform to. I refuse to accept ever having to go through this again. So I educate myself and practice on myself, learning new character traits that I want and getting rid of any type of negative state of mind, because that is a very powerful thing, and everything starts with your state of mind. And that's it for that letter.
So I guess I do understand how it is a crime to take someone's, like, federal, like, document, the ID, but I don't know if the sentence matches the crime, but it is 100% the case that people can be pushed into taking plea deals that are not fair.
Oh, yeah. I know. I can see why he took that. Especially, I don't know, you never know how a case is going to go. And the thought of him possibly getting 20 years in prison...
Yeah, it's definitely a risk. Like, it's gambling away years of your life.
Yeah. But I don't have any responses to go through today, but something random that happened. We had one of the people that we talked about in our letters send me a drawing, and you probably saw it or might have seen it if you follow our Instagram page, which if you don't, you should follow it. It's at Pieces from Prison Pod. But I feel bad because I'm able to type all my letters out. Every time someone sends me, like, a super long story, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad because I'm able to just print off my responses.
I know. I think that, too. If you guys don't know, whenever you get a letter from a prison, it's handwritten. They can't type these letters. So you get to type up your response, and you see their handwritten letters, which... That's something that I take for granted, just being able to type something up.
Well, I think, actually, I've never done it yet, but I think that some of them do have access to email, because some of them have sent me letters saying, like, log in, like, register, make an account on this website, and they can email. But anyways, the guy that sent me that drawing has handwritten, like, his first letter he wrote me was literally, like, 10 pages, and I wanted to handwrite him a letter because I felt bad that he always is writing me stories and I'm always able to type back. So I wrote him a letter, and I was at work, so I only had, like, yellow notepad paper, and they sent it back because it was yellow. I guess that the prison told him that I sent him a letter, but it was on yellow paper, so he couldn't read it. So he, like, sent me a letter, and he was like, I know that you wrote me, but it was on yellow paper, so they said I couldn't have it. But I just sent him a typed letter back and said, thank you so much for the drawing. It was a really nice drawing.
Yeah, go to our Instagram. And Ariel, did you post the drawing on there?
I posted the story, but I can, like, post it on a highlight so you guys can see it.
Yeah.
You can see
it. Do that.
But yeah, that's all I have. We did have one of our listeners write in some questions for the man in the episode, sentenced to life at 18 years old. And I sent those questions to him, and the answer should be pretty interesting. So once he responds, I can go through that.
Great.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back with another episode next week. So follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts so you know when our episodes are released.
And stay tuned, because I think we might have a special surprise next week, right?
Yes. Yes, we hope we do. We will keep you updated on our Instagram at Pieces from Prison Pod. And check out our website at pfppodcast.com. You can connect with us on there. And thank you. I hope you all have a great week, and we will be back soon. Bye.